with the Morning Machine on 102.6 The Situation.
Yes, indeed. Two minutes past the hour of the Morning Machine, the machine that makes your mornings move. Thank you so much for making the machine a part of your daily morning routine. And part of that morning routine means great people, great stories, the issues, the answers, the initiatives. And this is great here because thanks to Whitney Kenner Jones, Commissioner-elect Whitney Kenner Jones, who our guest is a proud supporter of,
yes,
right?
Of course.
So we produce winners here. And when it comes to community leaders, politics, we're the ones that provide the greatest transparency for you right here on the Morning Machine. And that's why I call it the issues, the answers, the initiatives. So let me tell you about our first timer, but certainly not the last time, because he's going to be here quite a bit after this.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Shadarian Fanning, an experienced police commander and dedicated, and I mean dedicated member of the community, running for the position of Douglas County, Georgia Sheriff. So he's done a lot. When I say he's done a lot, listen to this. Over 15 years of law enforcement service, and he understands deeply the community's challenges and is beyond well equipped, to address them effectively. We are going to speak on those in just a moment. So I want to get right to it right now. I want to just dive into it, because there's so many things to talk about in so little time. I want to once again welcome to the Morning Machine for the first time, and certainly not the last, Lieutenant Shadarian Fanning. Good morning to
good
you.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Feeling good, feeling great. And you should be feeling great as well, because the community leadership is just absolutely out of this world, and you've been doing it for such a long time. But there's always a journey.
Yes.
The start of the journey. So what I do with every guest is this. I like to take it back to the old school. Let's take it to Union Square. Let's take
it
back to the beginning, the journey. What was it that you saw in your community that led you to get into law enforcement?
Yeah, so actually I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, for once it's called a Dirty Gump. Home of ASU and the Hornets.
Hey.
So if you know anything about the HBCUs in Alabama,
yes.
You know, we're big on the Hornets. So shout out to ASU. But
absolutely.
Also I grew up, if you're familiar with Montgomery, Alabama, I grew up in South Court Street.
Mm.
So back then in the mid-90s, they were heavily involved in gang activity there. Mm. And my mom was a big churchgoer, and she was a big family, community family advocate. So she dealt with a lot of the kids that were involved into gangs, and a lot of them that had broken homes. So she started a nonprofit called FACES, stands for Family Advocacy, Community, and Educational Service. And she offered a lot of kids that dropped out of school opportunity to get their high school diplomas. She offered a lot of them to go to Civil Air Patrol because they weren't eligible to go to ROTC because they was not in a public school. So she was able to get a contract with Civil Air Patrol, which is with the Air Force, for them to participate in there and get their hours to go in as E2s, E4s, and things into the military once they got their high school diploma.
Awesome.
So that was the foundation.
And, you know, every foundation has its own journey. And
yes.
What was the part of the journey where you got the best advice? Because sometimes growing up is tough, especially when you're coming out of, you know, a certain neighborhood, especially for us in our African-American communities. It may be tougher. Ones may be tougher than others. So what has been the best advice to get you through that time, and what sticks with you today?
It was sports. I had to go back to my mentor, Adil Siraj. He owns a family adoption agency down in Montgomery, mm-hmm. and he's got a couple other locations, but he was pretty much the father figure that I grew up around. I did have a stepdad who instilled like a lot of good work ethics in me when it came to, you know, providing. But for the growth and development for mm-hmm. leadership, I would have to give that to Adil Siraj. So if he's watching and listening, thank you. But he told me, don't depend on sports. Go to school. Get out of Montgomery. Go experience the world. You know, don't put yourself into a gerbil ball. Go experience the world. And if you want to come back, come back. We'd love to still have you here, and we'll help you through, you know, your career down here. But I think you should go explore and figure out what it is that you desire in your career. Because I had, other than football, I didn't know what else I wanted to do. And law enforcement became more of a passion. Because I did have family uncles that were in law enforcement. My dad retired from the sheriff's office in Montgomery, and my uncle was a sheriff in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and that was kind of like my foundation of exposure that gained the interest. But what really allowed me to invest into, say, maybe I will put my application in, was seeing some of the things that were building up during that time with police and black men. And also minorities, and that gained a passion. And my experience as a kid was getting pulled over in Orlando, Florida, and by like a strike team, which is like a crime suppression team. And I was in a blue old school Cutlass Calais, and the guy sold it to me for like $900, and that was like probably like my first car that actually belonged to me. Nice. And I started driving, you know, your parents' car. And I remember being pulled over at the gas station, and they were on their little crime suppression streak. And I asked, you know, like, what did I do? And he's just like, what are you doing inside of town? And I said, well, I currently live here on John Young. And he's like, where do you live on John Young? And I said, I live in Park Central. He says, well, where you work at to live in Park Central? At the time, I was living at Toys R Us because I was working at Toys R Us because I was in school. I had graduated early.
Right.
I graduated high school early. And so I was the first school I went to was to build engines and build race cars over at Universal Technical Institute.
Yeah.
That was the very first school I ever attended, was to learn how to build, what's the word, muscle cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he pulls me over, and I stopped at the gas station, and he said, well, where are you working? At the time, I was working at Toys R Us, and he goes, hey, well, what kind of money are you making at Toys R Us to live in Park Central? Mm-hmm. And he never really told me why he pulled me over. Mm-hmm. And that was originally out there going through that. Originally, I was like, well, I enjoy building cars as a hobby. Maybe I will get into, you know, still playing sports and stuff. And I was just like, well, maybe, you know, I was on a semi-pro team at that point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, well, maybe I will get into law enforcement if this doesn't work out. So I applied with the Orlando Sheriff's Office, and I found out that you had to sponsor yourself or find someone to sponsor you to go to the academy. And I obviously didn't have the money to sponsor myself. So that was kind of like the base foundation of the interest of law enforcement.
You know, it's interesting. You had an experience of being pulled over. Let's jump right into that, because these are part of the issues that are seen amongst law enforcement around different cities these days. And it's more heightened, especially since the pandemic and, of course, George Floyd, right?
Of course.
So how do we, in under your leadership as Sheriff of Douglas County, how do you intend to improve the relations between the sheriff's deputies, police officers, and the like with the community? How do you intend to do that for Douglas County?
So I'm going to gear this question to Douglas County versus like giving the round ballpark answer. The round ballpark answer is, of course, training. Like, you have to train as best is our best practice. But it also, as we talk about Douglas County is a historical area that is still controversy of why Douglas County is called Douglas County.
Right.
Some say it's from, you know, Douglas. Or some say it was from the Confederate Douglas.
Right.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass and the Confederate Douglas.
Right.
But with the two S's or the one S. So some people make shirts with the two S and some people make shirts with the one S. Mm-hmm. But also with all the racism and all the adversity that has transpired in West Georgia during the civil rights all the way up to still currently, things that are still going on. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the county now has turned into what's called a blue county, which is a Democratic county, meaning more minorities and more blacks live there now.
Correct.
When it was a red county where it was predominantly white and Republican conservative. With that being said, all police departments, when you learn the leadership, they have to be geared to the culture of the county.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to take more diversity training in that particular county that's geared to what Douglas is now and what it mirrors. And it's not about color when it comes to cultural diversity. It's understanding who lives there and how do I cater to the culture of my county now. So that goes back to maybe bring in the FBI training, the color of law. It talks about litigation. It talks about it trains you on case studies and case laws that turn that particular case into an actual study where people are trained to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Terry versus Ohio, all these are case laws that now law enforcement agencies are implementing to policies.
Absolutely. Now, the other question is we see a lot going on in the field of mental health as it pertains to criminal activity or what have you, and being able to decipher the two and being able to handle it in a certain way. Would you say that there would be more training needed to handle those type of situations so that it's not a situation of, oh, just automatically judging or anything of that nature? What kind of training would play into that role of improving mental health of our community from the law enforcement standpoint?
Yes, that's actually a great question, and it was asked of me yesterday a very similar question.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, with the Atlanta Police, we already practice that with the additional peer support, the additional mental resources. And when people think about mental, they think about meltdown or schizophrenia, bipolar. It's just not that. You have developed disorders that come upon from stress and grief and trauma. And those are the more predominant issues that do transpire in the midst of, you know, the residents in the county. Like some people lose a loved one, they lose their child, they lose their job.
Yeah,
you know,
those are trigger effects. Yeah,
yeah, things that create, which is not a mental disorder, but more of a developmental issue that has, you know, that has come about due to trauma or some type of depression.
Right.
But the Douglas County takes, one thing I do know about it, they take bare minimum training. And when I say bare minimum, the reason why I say that word is because they take the prerequisites that keeps you certified every year.
Right.
And I want to go above the scope of bare minimum. I want to go above the scope of, you know, required. I want us to have additional training there to be able, because for one, it cuts down on liability when you're talking about use of force. Two, it cuts down on repeat offenders because the studies show that most repeat offenders do have some form of mental issues. The reason why they keep falling back into the same gate of a jail cell.
Correct.
And also, it cuts down on crime. You know, if you're in a level head where you're able to retain a job, you're less likely to want to mess that up when you're in the right state of mind.
And then when you have those kind of resources, it allows people the time to get a clear head of thought.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when people commit crimes or whatever they're doing that they know is wrong, they know in their heart it's wrong, but they made a snap decision in their mind that they did this. And then once they snap out of it, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And it's like,
and it's
now
the
they
emotions.
Get back to their senses.
Yeah.
It's like, what have I done?
Yeah.
It becomes that kind of situation of what have I done? And they don't realize it until after.
Yep.
It takes programs and initiatives more resources to be able to meet the people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of meeting people where they are, it has to start young.
Yes.
And which
at
is
one
why,
and two.
Exactly.
And a fun fact, I'll tell you a fun fact. Yeah. Most people may or may not know. I ain't gonna say they don't know, but kids are at their most intelligent level at 2 and 3 years old. That's how they're able to learn English without having to actually go to a school to learn it.
Exactly.
They absorb it as a sponge, but they're at their most intelligent level at 2 and 3. So the best time to really, if you're trying to mold your child to be something, is at 2 and 3.
And, you know, it's interesting, and that's a great segue to the community service part. And by the way, folks, if you didn't know, he has a nonprofit organization, Badge to Family Outreach.
Yes, sir.
Right here in Atlanta. Right here in the city and doing so phenomenally well. And there's back-to-school programs, community service engagement programs. I mean, so many things that are really on tap. And mental health and physical wellness programs, yes.
And
we just spoke
and
on
that's
that.
For the officers and first responders and the civilians and residents in the counties.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is the epitome of meeting the people, meeting the community where they are. Having these things implemented will really strengthen the wellness of the community from physical and mental standpoint. And what does that do? It reduces crime. It may not happen overnight, but it's going to be a gradual decrease in crime in the county, which is why it is important that we have these initiatives in place. And so let's talk a little bit about Badge to Family Outreach. When did you start, and what are the things that you have seen based on your experiences with Badge to Family Outreach that bring you to this point where your initiatives will be further built out?
So Badge to Family Outreach was actually started in 2015, mm-hmm. when I first had a vision of doing something. I was like, well, other than decreasing crime in these areas, what else am I doing? Like, how am I giving back? Other than just, making arrests, what else am I doing? And I start seeing that a lot of these kids and a lot of guys that were committing crime, they didn't have the resource. Like, if you're starving and you have no means of food, you're going to probably go steal. So how are we being preventative to give people opportunity and hope to say, hey, I do have this. I'm not going to go throw my life away. So I started Badge to Family Outreach to be more of a lot of people thought it was more geared to officers. But it's like, no, officers are going to do something other than what they get paid to do. And we're going to use our first responders, our city council. I mean, everybody's been involved. Andre Dickens has played his part in a lot of our Christmas programs that I do with Nouveau. And nice. So if you ever been down to Cascade Skating Ring on before Christmas and received a toy from a really long line, it was right. through Ebony Austin who spent hard earned money to provide those toys, and we collaborate with her to make sure that happens every year. My Thanksgiving drive at the CT Martin Rec Center with council member Andrea Boone. She's been a heavy year-long, probably 10-year-long veteran helping me out with making sure that we get turkeys and other things to the residents over in that west side area. The change that we have seen is mental stamina, more emotional intelligence as it pertains to these kids going back to school. We try to give our little prayers and speech to them as they go back to school to how to build emotional intelligence. How to calibrate your emotions, because they will go up and down. But the key is not having those up and down emotions, it's just calibrating it back so you can make the right decisions while you're going back to school, or when you're at home. Home may be torn up. How do you not take home to work? How do you not take home to school? How do you not take home to other people? When you're going through something in your house, and we offer that to everybody, and we use the platform of our government officials to get off their duties that they get paid for and offer something for free on their off time.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely awesome. And a couple more questions here, the first of which is, what do you want the residents of Douglas County to know from your standpoint on why they should elect you as sheriff of Douglas County?
Great question. And I don't want to give you a political answer, so I'll give you the breakdown of it.
No, transparency is always key here. This is why everybody loves to come here. Yep. And that's how this is why we produce winners.
Yep.
And, you know, blanket answers are blanket answers, but transparent answers produce winners.
Yep. I've been a victim to the problem that's going on in Douglas County when it pertains to false arrests, when it pertains to corruption, when it pertains to things that are still deemed as racism, but it may not be called racism. Last year, when they found out I was going to run for Douglas County Sheriff, a poly trick happened where I was pulled over and thrown in Douglas County Jail for DUI and reckless driving.
Wow.
And the hardest humility part was giving somebody my hand knowing that I didn't commit a crime. And I see why obstruction could occur when somebody truly believes that they didn't do something. And but thanks to a very ethical solicitor's office that's operated by Sonia Compton, who's the general attorney there, it was quickly resolved and the case was thrown out without prejudice. With that being said, when you're choosing, just like we want to build empathy with our deputies, we also want to have a leader that already possesses empathy in certain counties. So when you're choosing a sheriff or a chief or a public safety director, that person needs to be geared to the transitional change and innovative change of the county. We've been lately in Douglas County, they've been hiring. Douglas County's sheriff's office became an LLC, hiring family members, cousins, nephews, sons, daughters, and is ran like a family business versus like an organization that offers public service to the county, and which creates a selfish motive. Mm. Where only your circle gets the prize within that reward of being in those positions. But with that being said, Douglas County is one of the few counties that you have to delicately choose a candidate that possesses empathy, meaning that they had to go through something to understand how to run that particular county. Martin Luther King went through it. Roselle Parks went through it. They all carried a number on their mugshot. And that built empathy to be a transitional leader. Now we have what's called managers who are really good at their work, and they have perfected their craft and in their work, but they're not innovative, so they can't offer something new to something that has a root cause of a problem. And what separates me from both candidates is that I am the most trained, regardless of years of service of the incumbent. And I do possess empathy because I know what it feels like to sit behind a jail cell for something I didn't do.
Mm.
And also, I know what it takes to be a transitional leader because I have been doing it my whole life without even consciously knowing that I was that until I started going to leadership school and finding out I was a clerical personality. And I was just like, what is that? And it's a person that is motivated off of, to give you simple terms, a lot of things, but it's a person that's motivated off of innovation. Like they have to be engaged in change, and they like to see the progression move forward. And that's what I want to see with Douglas County. I want to see the progression change. I want to see the behavior in law enforcement change. I want the deputies to know there's more to law enforcement than writing tickets and throwing people in jail. Let's be proactive versus reactive. I know they call us when they need help, but let's go out and see who we can help in the meantime of policing.
You just stemmed another question, and this is simply put: when you had to go through what you went through, did nothing, and still had to sit behind a jail cell. How did you feel?
Oh, it was terrible. I was ready to move from Douglas County. I was angry. I felt helpless. That night was the only time I felt like I was going to die. When I was in that car, because I felt like, wow, if he's doing this, something bad's going to happen. And that was the first time I felt like I was helpless, like nobody could help me. And it didn't matter what I did or what I said, that was it, you know. So so I'm very cautious when somebody is telling one of my officers that I didn't do something. That's not to say he didn't do it. Let's just make sure that we have crossed our T's and dotted our I's to ensure that this crime did happen or the proper cause did in fact exist, and it wasn't created through our knowledge of what how to create probable cause.
Wow. That is that's a deep one right there. But I appreciate you sharing your transparency with that, because you felt it and I felt it, and I hadn't even been in that situation before. God forbid I am in that situation. I think everybody in radio land out there that's listening felt that.
Yeah.
Whether you went through it or not, just to be in this position, but you did something that most wouldn't do. Instead of complaining about the situation, even after it was already resolved and you went through what you went through, what you did was you turned that situation into a story.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is still being written. The chapters are being written, because you went from doing this to now, all right, you know what? I'm going to be the change that I want to see. Stop looking for the change and be the change. Right. And you were proactive in saying, you know what? All right. I got y'all. I'm going to run.
Yes.
And when
now
I win this election, right? The change is going to come.
Of course.
Because I don't want this to happen to somebody else. And they're feeling like they need to move out of Douglas County because they had a traumatic incident.
And some people don't have the knowledge to know where to start. I knew where to start in that traffic stop.
That's true.
You know, and then they can't get out of it the way that I did, because I knew I needed my blood taken that night, because DUIs is one of the rare cases where you don't need a lot of evidence to say that a person's been drinking. And wow. then you got to think about point, even if, say you did drink, just use this example, say you did drink.
Yeah, like socially.
Yeah. And you got into your car and you blew point one. That's still not at a level of driving under the legal limit.
Right.
But they can still throw you in jail for reckless driving because you blew point one. So when people hear that word reckless driving, and we try to educate, our community on what these charges mean. When people say regular driving, you think about a person, you know, driving crazy.
Right, right.
But regular driving is it could be speeding, you know, 20 miles over the limit. And it also can be, oh, you know, he was 0.2, you know, versus being 0.8, which is the illegal limit driving. But with my case, my blood samples came back because I had to prove that I had literally nothing to drink. And it came back negative and it had 0.00. Alcohol levels in my system, and it was, you know, and honestly, I felt like it was me that did it, but I felt vindicated. Like I felt like something great happened, and the justice system will work if we're educated on how to maneuver through it.
That's heavy right there.
And I'm living proof that the justice system does work if we're educated of how to maneuver through it, because it happened into a what's called a dirt road deputy county that you're not supposed to make it out alive with exonerated. Exonerated. I mean, Atlanta, you could probably get some leeway with some mercy. But a county that likes to get these charges, and they fight for this MAD award, Mothers Against Drunk Driving award, against Georgia State Patrol, and they had these little competitions of how to get this award first. It's hard to get out of those tickets and stuff like that, but it was a poly trick, and they threw this shot hoping it was going to slow me down from actually being eligible for the race.
You know what? And, you know, thank you so much for your transparency on that. I really appreciate that. I mean, and I hope out there in radio land, you have heard this story and you have heard his experiences.
Politics are real.
It is real.
Yeah.
It's not just negative ads on television or on the radio. It is real. It's real. And a lot of people experience it. So I just want to say once again, thank you for your transparency and all of this. And like I said, for the listeners out there and for the watchers on his Instagram Live, I hope that has moved you to make a decision in May, because the primary is coming up. There's an election in May that's coming up. So yes. Talk about that.
Just real quick. May 21st is the primary day. That's the day. And I'm going to tell you what's unique about this particular race with the sheriffs. Mm-hmm. May 21st is the primary day, but voting starts April 29th through May 17th. Yeah. Now, the right wing is not, they're not telling the whole community that, because the less people that show up for April 29th and through May 17th, it you know, they're supporting the incumbent. The right wing, which is the Republican Party.
Gotcha.
The unique thing about it is that we have no Republican candidate. So the Republican have chosen their Democrat that leans more to the right wing than the left wing, which is he's a Republican. And he ran on the Democratic ticket because you can't win on a Republican ticket in Douglas County. With that being said, whoever wins primary, since there's no technical – technically no Republican Party, a candidate, whoever wins May 21st is the sheriff.
Wow.
There's no November voting.
So this is the big one.
This is November and May.
This does not go to the ballot in November. Listen, folks, this is it. So this is the election in May that starts April 29th with early voting. This is the big one.
Yep.
This decides
who's
going to be the sheriff of Douglas County. Mm-hmm. It does not go to November. Yep. He'll already be working in November is what we'll be talking about here.
Yeah, we'll be transitioning. The transition team will come in, and we'll start working on some things after the voting's over.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is why it is important. Don't just think elections happen in November. They happen a lot year-round, depending on what state you're in. But in the state of Georgia, there's a lot year-round, especially if there's special elections, you know, different referendums, what have you. The ballots happen, elections happen
all year round.
So you definitely want to make sure that you are taking notice of this in your specific county, your local area, your state, and, you know, just make sure that you are heading out to vote. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, there's a lot of people out there in Douglas County that do support you.
Yes, sir.
And to earn more supporters after this interview,
spread the word.
Yes. How do we spread the word? How do we connect with you? How do we support you?
Well, it's easy for you to find me on social media because it's my first and last name, if you can spell it. S-H-E-D-A-R-R-E-N. Last name Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G. That is my Facebook. That is my TikTok. That is my Instagram. And I think YouTube as well. But you can reach me on I try to run my own page, so I do respond. And
yes,
also,
you do.
Yeah. So also, website is Fanning for Sheriff, and that's the actual number four, not the FOR. FanningforSheriff.com, and you can reach us by email at FanningforSheriff.com. And we actually have another email that I'll try to get out. Running with Fanning. @gmail.com.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. Shout out to campaign managers sitting in the corner here, you know. Hello.
She's amazing. I appreciate it.
She is amazing.
She keeps me sane. She's my emotional support through this race.
She said, hello, hello. Dave, listen, thank you so much. Once again, this is not your first. This is your first, but not your last time here. So we
definitely
expect
be back.
You to be back. When you earn the seat of sheriff.
May 21st.
You're going to get so busy that we're not going to be able to catch up. We're going to have to do the interview on stream, y'all.
You're family now. Your family's first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't get rid of me. I can't get rid of you, even if we try. So we are family now. And remember, of course, the Morning Machine 102.6 The Situation produces winners. And so we look forward to the election. Go out, Douglas County. Go on, Douglas County.
Let's go.
Show up and show out like you did for our sister Whitney.
Yes, Whitney. We're so happy. We're still happy for you. We're going to run it back.
Run it back. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for listening. We're going to have another guest up next, Avenue X Fashions. But in the meantime, Lieutenant Fanning, thank you so much for joining us this morning and really speaking transparently. But like I said, a lot of people out there in Radio Land felt that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was
that
amazing.
Was really heartfelt, and this is such a powerful interview. So I thank you so much for being on the Morning Machine, and look to have you back after and when you hold the sheriff's office. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It is 38 minutes past the hour. We are talking fashion up next with Avenue X Fashions. Let's get it. Let's change clothes with Jay-Z. It is the Morning Machine. Let's go.